Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm kind of thinking to myself that the people who normally read the sport and didn't send the audio to me are kind of having a bit of a laugh today. It's 8:33. Here, Housing Secretary Michael Gove is reportedly drawing up proposals to turn Cambridge into Britain's Silicon Valley. Up to 250,000 new homes would be built over the next two decades. Cheney Payne is deputy leader of the Liberal Democrat group on Cambridge City Council and also her party's prospective parliamentary candidate for the City of Cambridge. Cheney, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Other than having to read the sport, everything else is fine. We've got the expertise here, so why shouldn't Cambridge rival Silicon Valley?
I think it's not a question of whether we should or shouldn't. It's a question of the way in which we do it. So this announcement on Sunday in the Sunday Times was absolutely bizarre. So out of nowhere, Michael Gove is announcing building 250,000 houses in Cambridge. And as the day went on, it emerged that this is without any kind of consultation or discussion with the City Council, who are the planning authority who would need to make this happen. And then on Sunday evening, Anthony Brown, the Conservative MP for South Cambridgeshire, popped up to say that he also had no idea this was happening.
But poor Mr. Brown, I think the rug possibly pulled from underneath his feet on that one. He's been quite vociferous about sort of the building which is going on at the moment in South Cambridgeshire, which would be completely dwarfed by these proposals were they to get off of what I've seen described as being the concept stage.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what makes it quite so odd. So, you know, to be really clear, I absolutely believe we need further building and further investment in Cambridge. We're living in a housing crisis. It's an incredibly expensive city. And the only way through that is to provide more houses, which we really do need. But that needs to be houses which everyone can live in. And the Silicon Valley model is terribly flawed. The rents there are about 250% of the average for the rest of the area. It's incredibly expensive, so it doesn't actually meet the needs of the people who live and work there. So for me, it's not, is this a bad, you know, should we be building or not? Of course we should.
Because we desperately do need the homes. It's not, I don't think it's at all clear from the report in the Sunday Times as to where we'd put them. Maybe Peter Studdart, who's my guest after 9 o'clock, might have an idea as to where they technically could go. But as you say, we do desperately need these homes.
No, we absolutely do. I think where they go is a big question, isn't it? As well as 250,000 homes, this is, if you think about the people who will then be living in them, this is getting on towards 1 million, potentially, additional people living in Cambridge. And they will need homes to live in, but they also need shops. They need schools. They need GP surgeries. They need a way to get around. We absolutely don't want 1 million more cars coming into Cambridge. So all of these things need to be thought through as well. It's not just building houses, isn't just about giving people boxes to live in. It's giving them a community and a place they can actually exist in. So where the space for that comes as well, I think, is another question that Mr. Gove hasn't really thought about yet.
Well, one of the things, as you might imagine, you obviously see them as well, being a member of our city council. We'll get a press release here, and it will say that, I don't know, 100 new homes, or 100, whatever the number is, new homes are going to be created. And then it's followed by, and this will bring so many jobs to the region. And I always think to myself, well, hang on a moment. We don't need jobs. We've got quite a few of those. We need the houses to put the people in who already have the jobs.
Yes, no, we absolutely do. We absolutely do. And Cambridge and South Cams have actually been incredibly ambitious over the last 10 years in terms of how much building we've been doing to try to meet that need. It's interesting that Liberal Democrat-led councils have actually built far more homes between them than all the Conservative ones have done over the last decade. And our local plan is already setting higher targets than we are technically asked to do by the government for building. So we absolutely recognise that need. And I think really what we'd like to see is, if this is a genuine plan, not a big headline grabber from Mr. Gove, that he comes to actually talk to the people who will have to put that into place to see how it could work properly.
Yes, well, one thing Mr. Gove has obviously seen slightly different opinion polls than the rest of us have about what the makeup of the next government might be. But even with the homes we've got, you'll be aware, you know, you build half a dozen houses and there's a campaign to maybe stop them being built, or we have large scale campaign, say, on Honey Hill, because people don't want the sewage works moved, because there are plans to build more homes there, and so on and so forth. I just find it rather strange that the lack of infrastructure which we have for what we have at the moment, let alone what might come in the future.
Absolutely. There's a question of the infrastructure, but even possibly even more concerning is the question of water as well. Cambridge is one of the driest regions in the UK, and there are real genuine concerns that the Cam Aquifer won't be able to continue to support the amount of water these extra homes will need. Something I know the council has asked for repeatedly is the government to look at that water infrastructure properly as well, by building reservoirs and pipelines so that we can make sure we can support the level of homes we need. And without that, yeah, we really risk being a bit of an urban desert.
Yeah, I noticed Mr Brown in his statement on social media yesterday was referencing projects that had been stopped. I'm not sure if that's exactly the case, but certainly the Environment Agency is looking into whether the water is sufficient to deal with new properties. And we already have, you know, Cambridge Water telling us as part of the campaign they have at the moment that during the summer months, they're having to pump in water from other places anyway.
Yes, absolutely. We're already at that point, and the council has asked the government to give us some support and some proper infrastructure if they want us to maintain this level of building. So it's really, it's just bizarre, quite frankly, Julian, that following all of that, they've suddenly announced on a Sunday in the Sunday Times that rather than putting in that support that we need to build the homes we're already planning to, let's stick an extra quarter of a million somewhere without doing any of that. You know, if the Conservatives really wanted to help Cambridge, they'd be addressing the need we have at the moment rather than bringing forward new plans, which they won't achieve because they'll be out of government in 17 months, let alone 17 years.
And the balance of power, generally, you know, whatever the government's colour might be, between what central government decides and the role of the city council or district council through a local plan, this kind of, to me, this up ends it a little bit. But of course, we know that already a lot of the money that the city and district councils are given to spend doesn't come out of the council tax, although looking at the size of the bill you'd think it does, but it comes from general taxation which the government gives us locally.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a difficult relationship where the local councils are the planning authority. So it is for the local council to make sure that we're building, but that we're doing it in the right way. And I think, you know, you referenced some of the objections that are always raised around building and developments. And a big part of that for me is making sure that the community feel consulted on, that homes aren't just imposed on Cambridge by the government who are, you know, living in Westminster very, very far away, that it's done with people in mind. And I think that's the way to help make sure that development is a positive thing that serves all of us.
Can you, it's difficult to do these sorts of things, but is it possible to put a number on how many homes we genuinely need within the area without adding on any additional sort of development or an enticement for more companies to move here?
I think it's really, really hard to tell, to be honest. The local plan's already setting quite a high target, in fact, higher than what the government would initially be asking us for in terms of building. And that's said to be jobs-led, so predicting a vision of how many employees we would need within Cambridge to support the different businesses and employment sectors that we have. I think it is very hard to tell because there's the jobs aspect of it, but there's also the fact that Cambridge is an incredibly desirable place to live. It's a beautiful, unique city. It's well linked to bigger cities around it as well. So there are people who would quite reasonably want to come to live in Cambridge, and I think they should have that possibility. I think what one part of the picture that is often missed here is that Cambridge has a fantastic science and tech sector. It's world leading, but people also need doctors, they need nurses, they need carers. And the kind of housing that's been proposed here clearly is not going to be affordable housing that people in those very different kind of job roles can provide. So I think we need to consider that sort of middle part of the picture there as well in planning the numbers that we need to go forwards.
And lots of questions certainly coming out of this report in the Sunday Times yesterday. But Cheney Payne, thank you very much for giving us your thoughts on that this morning.
Thanks for having me, Julian.
So Cheney Payne, who is the Lib Dems deputy leader on the City Council and also her party's prospective parliamentary candidate for Cambridge. It's worth actually having a quick read of the Cambridge City Council statement, which says, we note the speculation in the Sunday Times that suggests ministers are considering significant increases in housing in and around Cambridge. The City Council has not been consulted on these ideas, which we note are being described as being at the concept stage, as the planning authority of the council would expect to be fully engaged in any proposals and the decision making regarding the future of our city. Certainly nobody of any political persuasion seems to be in favour of these proposals this morning. Your thoughts, of course, as welcome. 07919 070 490.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Pleased to say I'm joined by Peter Studdart. Peter is an independent advisor on city planning design based in Cambridge. He's worked on his past local plans, Peter, and obviously keeps an active eye on what's happening now. Welcome.
Yes, thank you,
Julian. Thanks so much for coming in. Well, we need the homes. That's fairly straightforward. But where would they go?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I mean, let's take a step back on a Monday morning and get some cool facts and figures. If you look at the 2021 census, if you combine the number of households in the city and South Cams, you come to a figure around about 120,000 homes, with a population of somewhere a little bit over 300,000. So if one takes this article at face value, it suggests that Mr. Gove is proposing to effectively triple the population of the city and South Cams over the next 20 years, which is clearly bonkers. And one wonders what's going on, what's behind this. Is it just a kite-flying exercise? What is
so the sort of thing they sort of make clear to their friends in the Sunday Times that, oh, it's going to be 250,000 new homes, and when it ends up being 50,000, we think, oh, that's not so bad.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I mean, if you look at what's happening in the local plan at the moment, I mean, the city and South Cams are combining together to provide a joint local plan, which is very sensible, and the latest proposal that were published are proposing an additional 52,000 homes for the combined area up to 2041.
Right, so over a period of about 15 years or thereabouts?
Well, 21 years, 2020 to 2041.
Okay.
An additional 52,000 homes, of which 37,000 are already in the pipeline. And so the task at the moment of the new local plan is to find additional sites for this additional 15,000. Now, some people think that's was already too many. But if we just take a look at that more closely, the 37,000 homes that are already in the pipeline that are being planned that haven't been built yet are mainly going to be built at North Stowe and at Waterbeach, and also some more out at Camborne, at Bourne Airfield, and some additional housing around some of the urban extensions around the edge of Cambridge, but mainly in the two new towns north of Cambridge at North Stowe and Waterbeach. So that's the 37,000. What the local authorities are currently saying for the additional housing to take it up to around about the 52,000 mark for by 2041, they're looking at two new sites on the edge of Cambridge. First of all, the airport, which is obviously moving to Bedfordshire, so that's a huge opportunity to provide a new neighbourhood on the east side of Cambridge, and also northeast Cambridge by relocating the sewage works and building a new sort of medium density community around Cambridge North Station. Now, if done well, I think both those sites could probably absorb a very large part of that additional 15,000 population. So in some ways, and this is already an incredibly ambitious plan. I mean, there's obviously people talking about the problems of water, the issues around traffic and congestion. So that the plan that's already in the pipeline is already a very ambitious one. So one does wonder who Mr. Gove has been talking to, because he should really be doing his best to support the existing plan.
He hasn't been speaking to Anthony Brown, and we know he hasn't been speaking to the City Council.
It's interesting that Anthony Brown already talks about the existing plan as being concreting over South Cambridgeshire. Well, I mean, Mr. Gove's plan certainly would involve concreting over South Cambridgeshire, so I'll be interested to know what Mr. Brown says once he's had his meeting with Michael Gove, because I think it gives him, well, not only him, because this also suggests massive expansion of the market towns around Cambridge.
It's not entirely clear, is it, as to what area Mr. Gove is talking about here. You know, one thinks of the Oxford-Cambridge arc. So for all we know, some of these homes could be halfway to Milton Keynes and nowhere near Cambridge at all.
Yes. I mean, it's part of the absolutely shambolic approach this government has taken to strategic planning, because we had the Oxford-Cambridge arc first coming in, servicing, what, 6-7 years ago, and they were talking about 1 million homes on the arc. Then the Tories lost the Chesham and Namisham by-elections to the Lib Dems, and so quickly the Oxford and Cambridge arc looked rather like a sort of crumbling blue wall, I suppose. So I think they could see losing all their seats along the arc. And so the whole thing was put on the back burner. It's then been turned into a sort of a partnership, one gathers, without any clear idea as to what that means. And then suddenly out pops this idea of 250 homes, 5,000 homes.
And there has been this tussle, I think, within the cabinet over what they do about planning rules as to whether or not they relax them or whether or not they keep them as they are. Yes. And I can see this being, well, just frankly, just as contentious in cabinet as it is going to be around the city in South Cambridgeshire.
Well, it is. I mean, clearly we need more homes, and we need more affordable homes. And I think that the plans that are currently in the pipeline, I think, go a long way to supporting a reasonable growth, which will continue to support Cambridge's economic growth. Because it's absolutely right that we should be supporting the growth of the tech industry in Cambridge, because it's one of the few kind of bright spots in a post-Brexit world that the UK economy has got. And so it's important that the Cambridge economy is supported, both by providing the space for the particularly life sciences space, although that's got to be in the right place, not the wrong place, and also the housing that has to go with it. And so I think what Mr. Gove is doing is just really rather disrupting a process that's already quite fragile, and he's in danger, really, of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I think making everyone move firmly into an anti-growth camp, which will really not help Cambridge's future.
Is he making a mockery of the local plan? You've got the city and South Cam's speaking to each other, trying to organise everything, and he's coming, actually, I think we'll do it this way.
Yes, I mean, he's undermining the very people he should be supporting, and I think that's what's so sad. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a change of government in a year's time, and that we'll have a more rational process of strategic planning being brought in. But meanwhile, I hope that the local authorities just keep their nerve, keep going with their current plans. I think that the congestion charge still has some mileage in it, although obviously it's being rethought and will be amended. But there's some very exciting plans, I think, for Cambridge's future, to turn Cambridge into a really very, very special place, even more special than it is already. And it doesn't help having people like Michael Gove fumbling around and just coming up with these ridiculous suggestions, and which he no doubt will then deny when it actually gets.
I was misquoted from by the Sunday Times. I don't know where they got the story from whatsoever. This sort of thing's destined for the courts, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the next local plan anyway is going to be quite a fraught business, not least because of the water issue. I mean, we've had the Environment Agency intervene in a number of planning applications recently, objecting on the grounds that there isn't any evidence that the water supply is going to be there to support them. So water needs to be sorted out urgently. And that's also, I think, a result of the fragmentation of regional planning over the last 10 years. That should have been really thought about 10 years ago, but we are where we are. So there's all sorts of potential challenges to the existing plans, let alone the sort of scale that Mr. Gove's talking about.
And a message from Alex is WhatsApped us in, I think, and she says, we have a huge water shortage in the area. We can't support the current population. How can this new proposal be supported? And I think, alluding to what you've already said, Peter, the same for health services, public transport, education, joined up thinking before houses.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it needs a proper integrated plan. I mean, there are plans to improve the water supply. I mean, there's the proposal for a Fen reservoir, but that's not going to be coming on stream until the mid to late 2030s. There's the suggestions for Anglian Water to pipe water across from the north part of the region through to the Cambridge area in the short term. So there are proposals around, but that's not to say that water is really a very big issue that needs to be taken very seriously.
No, absolutely. Well, Peter, fascinating to hear your thoughts on this. I suspect, I'm feeling it's not going to be the last we've heard of this one.
But, absolutely.
For the time being, Peter Studdard, thanks very much for coming in. It's 18 after 9 now.
Cambridge 105 Radio.